Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Wednesday Night Bible Study with Pastor Brooks. Haven't been on for a few weeks and wanted to get back into our regular Wednesday night chats here via Blog Talk Radio. On again, I think we're maybe on a little bit early, but we won't be on for too long tonight. What had happened, I see what had happened. I had set up for, when I set up for the Bible study session tonight, I clicked on the 7 o'clock hour, and that was a mistake. Blog Talk is set up in the Eastern time zone, so I should have punched 8 o'clock instead of 7 o'clock. So I set it up, so set it up for an hour and a half from intending to set it up 7 o'clock Central Time till 8:30. Really didn't have plans to be here till 8:30, but it was planned to be here for an hour. So I had clicked the 7 o'clock, and so that actually meant that our time was actually 6 o'clock to 7:30. So when I logged in here thinking I was logging in early before 7 o'clock, just getting here and having time to set up, as soon as I clicked on, it said you're show will start in 5 seconds. So that was my mistake. Again, hadn't done it in a few weeks and forgot about that little glitch. But thankfully, thank God we're here tonight. So from now till 7:30, we're going to share in the Word of God. You can also join us for worship at 6424 Benjamintown Road, Millington, Tennessee. That's just north of Memphis in the what's considered the North Haven area. Join us for Sunday school, 10 o'clock, Bible, morning worship, 11 o'clock. And come, we'll be glad to have you and to fellowship with you. This Sunday at 2:30, we're to be with the Williams Chapel AME Church, and that'll be on Navy Road in Millington, Tennessee. 2:30, I think they're having Men's Day, and I will be speaking there Sunday afternoon. Well, here in Tennessee, it's a little damp. We've had a few days with no rain. It's been flooding down here in the river bottoms. The water is up. We didn't have rain for a few days. It was nice, and glad to see the ground drying up somewhat. But today, this afternoon, it started raining, and they're figuring it's going to rain till about 9 or 10 o'clock, and we'll have a few more days without rain, and then rain starting back on Sunday. But no matter how the rain comes, the rain goes, it's God that sends it, and so God is in control. Tonight, as we go into Bible study, I won't really have time to deal with what I wanted to deal with, and that was the subject tonight, March Madness Inside the Church. My original title was, when I was thinking about it, I was going to entitle it March Madness Inside and Outside of the Church. But I said I will deal with just inside the church. And then when I got a few minutes ago, got a little pop-up, I think it was CNN News, and Pop-Up mentioned that Supreme Court Justice Speaks. Clarence Thomas asked a question during Supreme Court oral arguments for the first time in 3 years. And so for Clarence Thomas to ask a question while he sits there on the Supreme Court, that is seemingly madness, because he's one that doesn't seemingly open his mouth, and I guess he does more listening, and you never know how he thinks. So it's madness going about inside and outside of the church. We saw the situation what happened in New Zealand. Man went into a mosque and shot up a lot of the Muslim worshipers. I think it was said 50 was shot. I don't remember the exact totals, death totals, but it was horrendous. So anytime you're talking about assembling yourself and doing any kind of worship, whether you're trying to worship the true and living God or you're trying to even worship another God, that people will attack and try to do you harm because they don't like the color of your skin. They don't like what you're doing. And so people just commit these horrendous acts because of the spirits of the enemy is driving people to madness. We've always had sin in the world, but as we look at the history of the world, we look at the history of man, and seemingly we have these cycles that we go through. One of the things I share when we look in the book of the Judges, and we see a cycle that takes place in the book of Judges after the death of Moses and after the death of Joshua and Caleb. Moses led the children up to the promised land, and God would not let him lead them into the promised land. He assigned that task to Joshua. Moses died on the other side of the river. Joshua and Caleb, they led the people into the promised land. Got there, got established, set up, divided it by tribes. And one of the things that Joshua told the nation before his passing, he gathered them together and said that you're going to have to make a decision as to what you're going to do. You're going to have to make a decision as to who you are going to serve. You're in a land that God brought you to, but even as God brought you to this land, there were others who were in this land before we got here. And these others have their own worship. They worship false gods. They do not worship our God. And he told them, you're going to see things more than what you see now, because he understood that with his death, that the people of Israel were going to not be as vigorous in upholding holiness as they were taught, that they were going to want to venture into dibble and dabble with the other people. And he knew that there was going to be a letting down of the guard and the enemy was going to come in. But the thing that Joshua told him, that You're going to have to choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Are you going to choose to walk with God, who brought you this far, who have given you this promised land, who has told you that he'll be your God as long as you are his people? And he said you need to make a choice who you're going to serve. And Joshua told the people, but as for me and my house, I can't control your house. I'm your spiritual leader. God have established me, but I'm not going to be around forever. I can't watch you 24 hours a day. I can't force you to do that which is right. So you're going to have to make a choice as to who you are going to serve. And he said, but for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And so we leave the book of Joshua. We go into the book of Judges. And just as Joshua had tried to warn Israel, though that situation start manifesting itself and it start going through the cycle. And I always say and share with people that they started driving a Ford, and using the acronym Ford, F, they started forsaking God. And then when they started forsaking God, then oppression would come. The enemy would bring oppression against the people of God. And after bearing through oppression for so long, they would cry out to God and come to their senses. And then they would repent of their sins. And when they would repent, God being God, God would deliver them. And then after they received their deliverance, next generation would start the cycle all over again, where they would forsake God. And then when they began to forsake God, then oppression would come into their lives. And after they could not bear the oppression any longer, they would decide to cry out to God and repent. God being God, being just and merciful, God would deliver them again. And they would go through a period of prosperity and deliverance, and then another generation rise up, and they would get comfortable again, comfortable to the point that they would begin to forsake God. And after forsaking God, then here comes what? The oppression. After the oppression, here comes the repentance. And after the repentance, then comes the deliverance. But that was also this cycle that they did not recognize. And that cycle was that the time period between the repentance and the deliverance would get longer each time. Now, when we're babes in Christ and we mess up and we allow the enemy to trick us and we slip up and do that which is not godly, we repent. God forgives us. God restores us. And sometimes it seems his restoration is seemingly automatic and it's quick. And as we go through life, if we repent of that and we try to avoid that, and then the enemy trick us in something in a different area in our lives, a different way, we repent, look like we get delivered quick. But when we are continuing to having to repent of the same thing over and over. In other words, we're continuing to do the same wrong over and over again and asking God to forgive us and asking God for deliverance. When it's the same thing, it's the same sin over and over, that deliverance, it takes longer to receive each time. It takes is longer because we are constantly willfully sinning, and we are sitting in areas in which we know that we should overcome because we've gone through that, and we should know to avoid it. One of the examples I give to the church said, now, if there was a ditch in your yard and you got up to go to work and you walked and fell in the ditch, got your clothes dirty and muddy, had to go in the house, take a shower, change your clothes, go to work. And the next day, you know the ditch is out there, but you go, get dressed, go to work, get ready to go to work, step outside, fall in the same ditch, have to get up out of the ditch, go in the house, shower, change clothes, come back out. Wednesday come, same cycle, you fall in the ditch, go through the process of showering, changing clothes. Thursday, you fall in the ditch, same ditch. Same ditch in the same spot, same ditch. And you keep falling into it, and you know it's there. Then what do you have to say, call yourself? You have to call yourself a fool because the ditch hadn't moved. It's ditch there, same ditch, same process. If you're not careful, you go out there, you're going to fall in it, get muddy, and have to change clothes. So it is the same way with God seeking deliverance. Is if we keep doing the same thing over and over, then that's not so much the enemy is tricking us. That's just us giving in to the enemy. One of the songs we used to sing in the church, we used to sing the song, Yield Not to Temptation, for yielding is sin. There's no sin in the temptation itself, but the sin comes when we yield to the temptation. So there's no sin in when the devil comes and tries to trick us. The sin is when we allow the enemy to trick us. All right, let me go briefly into the word. We got about 15 minutes left this evening. And we look at, let's look in Genesis, in the 6th chapter. Genesis 6 and 1 says, and then it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you again this night that you have blessed us to come together to worship and to share in your word. Dear Lord, we ask that you would touch the spirits, the souls, and minds of those who would hear We ask that you would bless. We ask that you will heal, deliver, set free. Dear Lord, we ask that you meet need according to your riches and glory. Bless us all now. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. And amen. So here in Genesis, Genesis recognizes the beginning. And so after God had made man, after man had been cast out of the garden, and one of the commandments that God had given man, given to Adam and Eve, was to be fruitful and to multiply. And man followed that commandment, be fruitful and multiply. But there were other commandments, other things that God had instructed that man was not so careful to follow. So when we get to Genesis, the sixth chapter, it recognizes that man began to multiply on the face of the earth. And so we have this increase in population, but we also have an increase in sin. Because now what is happening, as this population is increasing, we have a union, people are becoming unequally yoked. In other words, we have non-believers marrying with believers. And we, you know, we have this idea that we get attracted, we're in the church, raised in the church, know the word of God, been taught the word of God, have been taught that scripture that tells us not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, and ask the question, how can darkness and light both have communion? How can evil and good walk together? How can you have an ox and a mule yoked up plowing together? That you can't, it won't work. And it's because one heart yearns to serve God, the other heart does not care anything for God. And then these hearts are yearning for one another, yearning to please one another. And usually what happens, the unbeliever does not yield his heart to the believer to the point where he is willing to give up, or she is willing to give up, the world in order to accept the life of the believer. And what happens usually, it is the unbeliever who pulls down the believer. And you know, we have people who will tell young people, go on and marry them. The scripture says that the saved wife can save the unsaved husband. But what happens most of the time, and even with your children, you see that the bad children have more influence over the godly than the godly have influence over the bad. And so the same thing ends up in relationships, that the ungodly pull the godly down, and the godly yield to the ungodly, while the ungodly are resisting the godly. And then you have then you get to the situation where you're trying to keep that relationship and not lose that relationship, And so the godly begins to yield even more. And sometimes yield to the point where they just give up trying to please God and spend their energy trying to please the ungodly. And sometimes they try to go through the balancing act of pleasing both and forget what Jesus said. And Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for he'll either love one and hate the other. So you cannot please man and God. You cannot please God and the enemy. You're going to show more of an allegiance to one. And that's what Jesus is saying, that you love one and hate the other. One of the things that Jesus said, that the way we show our love to him, he said, words of Christ, he said, if you love me, you will do what? You'll keep my commandments. He said, my commandments are not grievous. And so the way we show that we love Christ is by keeping his commandments. Now, we can say that we love him, and, you know, we can buy him flowers and give him offerings and give him accolades and say with our mouth how much we love him. But the truth comes to the point, if we love him, Jesus says that we do what? We keep his commandments. We obey his voice and not the voice of the enemy. Praise God. Well, we have about, look at my clock, we have about five minutes left tonight. I see someone else has come on, and I was sharing what had happened. I clicked, and I was setting up for tonight. Hadn't been on here in a few weeks, and I hit the wrong button. I hit 7 o'clock to 8:30, but this system is set up on Eastern Standard Time, and I should have hit 8 o'clock. So what actually happened, I actually scheduled at 6 o'clock to 8:30 inadvertently. So I apologize for that. Got about 4 minutes left. And so next week, we'll be on time. So when God looked at man, the scripture said he saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, in Genesis 6:5, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. So now we get from a point of thinking about God, of worshiping God and praising God, to start thinking about how can I get over, what mess can I get into? What devilment can I get into? What foolishness I can get into? And so our mind starts becoming wrapped up and preoccupied, evil and foolishness. And so this is what has happened with our world. You know, we look at our world just is just in a steady decline. The laws that we make, they're more increasingly evil. They're more wicked, and we legalize the most wicked things, perverse things that we can imagine. But we have to remember that God word is still true. Even though we choose to reject God, God is still on the throne, and God will have the last say. Again, sorry about the mix-up. There was my fault. But God bless you. Meet us again next week at 7 o'clock Central Time, and we will share in God's Word in a little more in-depth manner. I thank you. Join us Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, 6424 Bingenstown Road, Millington, Tennessee, in the North Haven community, and also at 2:30 hour, Williams Chapel on Navy Road in Millington, Tennessee. So thank you. God bless you, and have a great night. See you next week, unless we do another session this week. Thank you, and good night. Bye-bye.